Welcome to the Brown Thomas Podcast, a very special podcast to highlight the sustainable efforts of the brands within Brown Thomas and to celebrate World Earth Day. Brown Thomas places sustainability at the heart of everything they do, how they work, what they buy and sell, and they see it as doing the right thing, which is one of their core business values. With a vision to reinvent retail, existing to imagine and strive for a sustainable future for their people, customers and communities. Brown Thomas's aim is to manage their environmental footprint, responsibly source products and support people and communities. So for this episode of the Brown Thomas Podcast, in light of World Earth Day, we're focusing on the founders and creators of brands within the business who are taking action and leading their way through their sustainable efforts. So join us as we learn how they are committed to creating a positive change. First up, we hear from Managing Director of the Selfridges Group, which Brown Thomas forms a part of, Anne Pitcher. Sustainability is at the core of Anne's retail manifesto, and she has propelled the Selfridges Group into leading the change in how we shop by changing the way the stores do business. So for example, Anne has led sustainability programs like Project Earth, which asks brands to meet strict new sourcing standards, Reece Selfridges, and an Oxfam pop-up in-store. Here's what Anne had to say on the sustainable mission of the Selfridges Group. What you are doing very well in Selfridges Group is building that sustainable future, because it is quite clear we cannot, as consumers, keep going the way we are and consume the way we have done. So can I ask you a little more then, as a retailer, how are you adapting to this particularly?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognise that it has an authenticity and an honesty that comes from deep within all of our businesses, and that we've been doing it for a long time. We didn't come out of the COVID challenge and decide to be sustainable. We've been doing things, and, you know, particularly great to recognise some of the work that we've been doing across the group more recently. I mean, all for years in Ireland, celebrating local talent with Create, and more recently experimenting with the circular models in Arnott's. And of course, you know, bringing Project Earth to life in Selfridges. Across each of our businesses, we have a five-year plan, a five-year, I think, well-embedded approach to how our agenda needs to drive, targets around environmentally impactful materials, a reduction in our to be net carbon zero by 2050, and to change mindsets and change the way people shop. And, you know, across the group, that didn't just come out of thin air. That's been a long time in the making, and is actually who we are deeply. Mm-hmm. So we will move forward experimenting. But I think, you know, as a business, we need to make sure that we recognise how our customers' mindsets are evolving. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, then they're going to go somewhere else. And we can prove statistically how much they care about sustainability, how much our teams are involved and see us as a person or a company that they want to work for because of our approach to sustainability and a sustainable future. So exciting times. We've got a lot to understand. You know, will these business models truly contribute to current profit, or are they business models of the future that we need to try now? An inspiring opportunity with a team who are well geared up to try and test things. I think the future, 2020, has taught us a lot. We will begin a new journey in 2021. So exciting.
When it comes to sustainable brands, few are as climate conscious as Redone, the denim brand that breathes new life into pre-loved items and heritage brands. Redone is the ultimate sustainable brand, and I spoke to the co-founder of Redone, Sean Barron.
You know, so we figured out how to take it apart, put it back together to make a modern fit out of it that, in the language that women knew, like high rise and mm-hmm. low rise and boyfriend fit, we were able to take the greatest pair of jeans in the world and shrink them down to fit a woman and within new fits, you know? Mm-hmm. And we launched on the 29th of July in 2014, and we sold out in 12 minutes at midnight. We actually turned it, because we couldn't figure out how to make a website. So it took us a few minutes to figure it out. And we also shot a very cool campaign. Because then we realized like the genes are about individuality also, because each girl, each gene was totally different, even though it was the same fit. So if you go to other major denim brands, like if they have a skinny gene, they make millions of the same one. So everybody looks the same. So we, our whole premise was like, let's give, besides doing the process of solving the problem of getting the vintage genes, it's like, how do we make people individual again? So we shot 7 women together that didn't know each other, but they're all very individual. And one of them happened to be a young girl called Bella Hadid, who at the time wasn't famous yet. She was just a really nice person that came with another girl to do the photo shoot. And my wife was in, and all these nice girls came and shot it. And then, you know, and so we had Bella Hadid, and then right after that, she just kind of blew up. And so she was like part of our company in a way. And it was really great. So we launched and we sold out, like I said, in 12 minutes. And then we had 2,500 people on a waiting list by the morning. And then it just kind of went. And we, you know, the funny part, Louise, is we had no idea that we were doing anything that was responsible. We just thought we were doing something cool.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, which is kind of the best way most companies start. Like when they're just, it's just a passion for the project and not, there's no whiteboard, there's no marketing team. Yeah. It's just like, we love this idea of like creating individuality and making the jeans fit and helping girls solve that problem. But what happened was we started getting DMs and emails. We love what you're doing. And we still didn't know what that really meant until people said you're upcycling and you're recycling and you're helping the environment. And that in 14, it was a conversation, but it wasn't the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In my many years of owning companies, this is the one that's the most enjoyable because, you know, we're doing things that are responsible and, you know, we're trying to be always on the right side of things. Yeah. And people tend to, you know, it's not about, I mean, to us, it's not just about the clothes anymore. Now it's about the brand and what does the brand mean and how does it affect your life? Like, what do you think? And are you following Redone because we're sustainable, we're upcycling? Are you, you know, we have so many different points of intersection with the customer. You know, are you a heritage fan and you like the fact that now, you know, Levi's is being respected in a level and in a luxury level now? Like, there's so many different touch points with the customer. It's very exciting. I mean, I like the word responsible because in a way there's a lot more to it than just being like sustainable. But from a sustainable standpoint, you know, we make our own jeans also, and they're all done with a waterless, which doesn't mean water, no water, but waterless technology, which means like a cup of water versus hundreds of gallons. And we use regenerated fabric, which means they've taken a bunch of old garments and grinded them up and created a new pulp out of them. So that's like a circular, you know, post-consumer. Our t-shirts use recycled yarns. So almost everything we do has some part of sustainability. And we like to say, you know, like we can't be perfect. And we always admit like, this is not 100% sustainable, but we're doing the best that we can because we have a carbon footprint. So we have to do an offset, or, you know, it's just a lot of people say they're sustainable when they're, you know, when we should just be truthful and say, look, we're doing the best that we can. Yeah. Our mission is to always find the most sustainable and responsible way to produce anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like I'll give you an example. My factory that I work with for the jeans in Mexico, they actually take all the stones from the stone washing of the jeans and make bricks out of them and help build homes in their area for their workers. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking, we're talking millions of pounds of bricks. So they, you know, are able to help their community. So that's why we join with them. They're very good at what they do, but we're like, oh, you do that. And they purify their water. So you can actually drink the water that you actually wash the jeans in.
Much loved sustainable swimwear brand Hunza G features next. Hunza G has a one-size stance, which eradicates the chance of overpurchasing. Their production process begins and ends locally in the UK, and they are a carbon-neutral company. I spoke to the co-founder, Georgiana Huddard, about their unique sustainable approach.
Tell me how much of a consideration, how much of your business plan is considered around sustainability? Because I know recently you announced that Hunza G is officially carbon-neutral. What does that mean?
So it just means that we worked with this amazing company called Zero, and they come in and they do sort of due diligence on you as a brand. You have to be completely transparent about your production, your way everyone travels to work. I mean, it goes down to the smallest minutiae, like how people get to work, where people get their lunch from, what the packaging of your lunch comes in, and the where your fabric's made, the everything. And they then come back with a really clear, I'll say a pie chart because I'm not very technical, pie chart of where your weaknesses are, where your strengths are, what you would need to work on. And that's just for you to come up with a strategy for how to improve everything. And then you can, so they do it, it's 1 year behind. So we've become carbon neutral for 2020. At the end of 2021, they'll look at what we did this year and hopefully it will have improved from last year. So we've now offset our carbon by buying carbon credits that are a rainforest company where they are planting trees, or a company that's to do with agricultural water. So you invest money into those businesses or, you know, ecological companies that are trying to make a difference in a positive way. So that offsets your carbon.
And you had a little baby about a year ago. Did that change your approach to, you know, the future of our planet and sustainability? Because in a similar boat, it changed mine. I think that it made me a lot more conscious of what I was doing and how I was consuming.
Yeah, so I think having a baby is an amazing thing. It changes how you see everything. I mean, it changes how you feel about your health, how you feel about looking after yourself, your own, definitely the environment, definitely what's the world going to be like in 50 years time? Am I being a good role model? I mean, the amount of like questions and like reconsiderings it throws up is incredible and exhausting and amazing and stressful. But I think for him, but also just Gen Z in general are just so incredibly on it. I've got an 18-year-old brother and he talks about things that I would never have been talking about at the age of 18. They want to know the story behind everything. They want to know the authenticity, the credibility of everything. They're willing to spend more money on items of clothing or food or whatever it is, as long as they know that it's come from the right place and that they're able to check that out. They want total transparency, and quite rightly so. They want to know the back end of everything. Mm. And they are really interested in the environment and in politics and in making a difference. And so it just feels like that's what's going on, whether you want to get on board with it or not. I mean, sustainability, especially after the pandemic, is the number one conversation for all brands. It's the number one topic. And it would be impossible not to get on board with that. I think what will be tricky is that everybody can say in some way that they're sustainable or ethical, and I suppose that needs to be monitored or regulated maybe at some point, and that will be an interesting sort of turnaround from everybody saying that they're ethical and sustainable, which is what they're doing right now.
I think even, that carbon neutral monitoring that you mentioned, I think even that is such a good indication and a good awareness for you and your staff to have.
Makeup brand Westman Atelier, brainchild of one of the most notable makeup artists in the globe, Gucci Westman, has a focus on clean, natural ingredients at its core and the mission of sustainable materials in its future. Westman Atelier launched their refillable concept this year to cut down on packaging and waste and allow customers the choice to do the right thing. Gucci joined me on the podcast earlier this year.
All around, I wanted the packaging and the formula to sort of harmonize, and I didn't want one to outdo the other. And when we launched our Westman Atelier in 2018 with Barney's, David and I went to them early days and said that we want the product to be refillable. And they told us that that's not going to work. That's not our business model. That's not our customer. So they would heavily advise against that. And having heard, their stance on it, we really couldn't afford to take that chance, especially since we funded the brand ourselves. So Now, of course, we are working towards becoming refillable, and it's not going to be immediate, but we are working on early 2021. Our compacts will be refillable. That will be the first thing. And, you know, it's a big commitment, but we're absolutely, you know, we are in for the long haul. And we believe that sustainability, everybody needs to join forces and support one another in this new approach. And we all have to reframe our brains.
That's so aligned with the integrity of your brand. You know, you spoke in, you know, so much about the clean products, and to have that ode to say sustainability as well really just lends itself to what Westman Atelier is about, you know. And I think that that is something that the consumer is more and more conscious of, and I think it's really important. Also a fan of the refillable, Killian Hennessy of Killian Paris joined the Brown Thomas podcast. And he spoke passionately about the desire to create perfume that lives and lasts with a refillable bottle and a reusable box. His manifesto is that luxury products should not be disposable. On the podcast, Killian discussed his sustainable approach. I think it's really important, you know, look, every brand we speak to on this podcast is mindful of sustainability, and it's something that is only increasingly so. However, when you launched 13 years ago, before this conversation was really, really had the energy that it does now, sustainability was at the forefront of your model, and you were very conscious of this. Tell us about your approach to sustainability within the business.
Well, 13 years ago, the idea was that true luxury should not be disposable. And real luxury should lead the way on items that people want to keep forever. And obviously, if there is a brand with products that are that you keep, then there is no waste, then it's the most sustainable brand ever. So how can I give a reason to customers to keep everything I create? So that's why all my cases, my clutches, the inside is removable so you can reuse them. The bottles, the pump, you can unscrew the pump so you can refill the bottle. Back then I was trying to give a reason to customers not to throw anything and to keep it and refill it for half the price. Today, I'm really going much further. I would like to have a much more avant-garde approach. So, for example, we have redesigned all our outer packaging to be much closer to the bottle, so less paper used. The new collection that we have created that includes Angel Share, every item is produced in Europe in order to reduce as maximum our carbon footprint. No planes are taken to supply components. So, you know, we try to move in the right direction, and we're actually going to take strong commitments with that we're going to give to the customer for our next 5 years. And this is what I commit that I will take the brand to. But to be honest, I would love for suppliers to be even more, proactive. You know, for example, I would love to be able to use recycled carton, but the options that we have available are so limited that it doesn't allow to create things that would look luxurious, you know? Okay. Easier if you do craft-like product, it's easier to be much more sustainable. When you're doing real luxury, sometimes you're heading into a wall. But I feel that suppliers just need to, I'm sure that this is the direction they're going. And at one point, we will all be, at least at Killian, we will be using carton that comes from, that is already recycled.
The beauty guru that is Sally Hughes also joined me on the podcast. Journalist, broadcaster, and author, Sally discussed the clean beauty movement and waylaid any confusion around what is clean, what is green, and her approach to natural products. Talk to me about the area of green beauty then, because we had Gucci Westman on the podcast recently, and I was very interested in her approach to green products and her blacklist for other products that will simply never appear in her formulations. What is your thoughts and your approach to that whole area of natural and green beauty?
I mean, it's a very broad church. There are many, many, many natural ingredients that are excellent for the skin and that are clinically proven in many cases to be effective on the skin. Squalane, for example. Squalane's a terrific ingredient that I use all the time that is naturally derived. Hyaluronic acid, although, you know, most of the hyaluronic acid we use is synthetic, actually hyaluronic acid is a substance that exists in your body. It's what keeps your eyeballs lubricated. It's what keeps your kneecaps lubricated. So I'm all for natural where it works and where it's safe. The problem I have is with clean beauty is in tarring synthetics with this brush that suggests they're toxic or dangerous. We have, particularly in Ireland, because you're still in the EU, we have the most stringent safety regulations in the world for products and for ingredients. And I think we have to remember that the clean beauty fad, movement, cult, whatever you want to call it, has come from America, where the regulations are not as stringent as they are here and in Ireland. And I think as a result of that, people are quite confused about the ingredients in their products and the good and perceived harm they do. Products in the UK and in Ireland are exceptionally safe. There is nothing dangerous or toxic in them. And I feel very, very uncomfortable about the conversations around ingredients and the labeling of them as toxic. Non-toxic beauty goes through me because it suggests that there is toxic beauty and there is not. And so I want to reassure anybody who's listening, who's worried about, you know, all chemicals. For a start, everything in the world is a chemical, everything. Everything in every skincare product in the world is a chemical. If people are worried about synthetics, don't be, because the synthetics we use are proven to within the nth degree. And things like parabens are good ingredients. I will use parabens all day long. Parabens are not an issue at all. However, there are some ingredients that are taken out of clean beauty products. That I'm quite glad are gone, not because they're dangerous, but because I don't like them. So I don't like mineral oil, for example, because it makes some people break out. It's not dangerous, but it's a sort of cheap ingredient where nicer ones are available. It's part of the petrochemical industry, which, again, you can have environmental concerns with. So I'm perfectly happy to see that go. It's not dangerous, but I'm happy not to have it. Silicon, not at all dangerous, but I'm happy to see it go because I don't like the way it peels when I put my makeup over the top of it when it's in moisturizers. So, you know, there are some things that have been taken out of clean beauty that I'm delighted to see go for many reasons, but none of them relate to safety and perceived toxicity.
There are a number of considerations for companies pertaining to be sustainable, sourcing and traceability being key. Joining me on the Brown Thomas podcast, Chanel ambassador and makeup artist Zoe Taylor discuss the importance of traceability, ethically sourcing ingredients, and the dangers of greenwashing.
Our world has changed so incredibly in the last year. Have you noticed a change in the beauty industry?
I have, yeah. People, I think, are very focused on their skincare. I think they're very focused on investing in very good products now. I think that people's routines have very much changed because they have a slightly more time to think about it, because realistically most people need to go on Zoom calls.
Yeah.
And you do need to look okay. And it's a slightly different thing to just going into work and putting on a bit of mascara or whatever it is. It's a very different thing. I think that people are looking more about ingredients and the traceability of ingredients. People are a bit more clued up. Mm-hmm. I think this world has changed a bit more, where everybody's spending more time looking at things, researching things, which I think is a good thing.
I think it's an important thing, absolutely. And there's that growing need for clean and green products. Mm-hmm. You've always been incredibly conscious of the integrity of the products that you use. What are those ingredients that you look for in a product?
When I'm looking at products, I look less for the ingredients and more about the traceability of the ingredients. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important. It's all very well having something from wherever it is, but if you think it's ethically sourced, but actually realistically it's only a small child that can get into that mine, and so it is not ethically sourced, but it is somehow got that title. I think that the traceability, the way that brands are partnering with farmers globally, I mean, Chanel are doing this, their camellia flower, which is one of their main ingredients. This is a prime example. And being able to actually trace it yourself is the most important thing. And I think people are very interested in green, clean beauty. But I think that quite a lot of that is not as truthful as you think it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's up to it's the responsibility of the individual to check, you know, the network of supply, the supply chain to the source, and see if it feels all right with you, you know, because it's all very well using, you know, organic products or organic ingredients, for example, but, you know, some people are prepared to take a bit of a hit on that if they actually want a different effect from the ingredients. And so they need something that's maybe a bit stronger or a bit different, or a slightly different layering or routine or how many steps they take. I think that it's very much up to the individual. And I think people are becoming more aware of the sort of greenwashing. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important. I think seeing brands partnering with farmers to ensure the economic stability, or brands partnering with women's cooperatives or whatever it is, I do think that's, for me personally, that's the most important thing.
Irish entrepreneur and co-founder of Memo Paris, John Molloy, joined me to chat about his incredible business on the podcast, during which John discussed their investment in rich, high-quality natural ingredients and their approach to sustainability.
Our company motto is Sic Itur Ad Astra. It comes from Virgil. It means such is the way to the stars. So we try very hard, but we try to say to everyone, look, if you're going to work with us, such is the way to the stars. We've got to keep endeavoring to be better. We're never going to be the biggest. We're never going to be the best, but we can be better. And we keep trying. It's like sustainability today. We've got a huge sustainability chart working on from everything from green chemistry, from using excess orange peels to make a Lily of the Valley molecule. So we're trying to do everything we can within our powers to make sure that we have our own charts and we have this moment of truth. So from sustainability to using natural ingredients, to working with artisans, to working with artists, it's all part of bringing it together to try and create something that is beauty. And we firmly believe in beauty and seeing beauty and the effect that beauty can have on every one of us every day.
Mm-hmm. And whether, you know, it's the sustainability that you just spoke of or traveling without moving, it's both are things we need very much right now in the world we live in.
Tove is one of the hottest new brands in Brown Thomas, and the creators and designers Camille Perry and Holly Wright joined me on the podcast. They discuss the importance of sustainability and how it drives every decision they make, from sourcing fabrics to packaging, and particularly in the longevity of their designs, which slows down our constant need for newness.
The key mission for every label now is to just try and be as sustainable as possible. Camille, how are you guys achieving that, or what are your attempts to do so?
So with us, you know, sustainability, as I said, was at the, like, it's just at the heart of everything that we do. So from the very start of the design process, we source our fabrications with that in mind. You know, we work with some really wonderful European mills, and from the very start, we're kind of searching for the most sustainable option. And if we find something that we really love, and it isn't available in a sustainable way, then we challenge and question if mm-hmm. it can be produced in a more sustainable way. So with that in mind, you know, that's kind of where we start with the design process. But like we were talking about before, it filters into kind of all areas of the business, from everything to do with our labeling, which is kind of all recycled. Our packaging is the same. You know, we're very conscious that the collections layer upon one upon the other. And so they are timeless, and everything that we design, we think of as something that will be amazing and relevant to the current season, but you can pull that piece out in years to come and it would still look incredible. So for us, you know, kind of trying to slow down this kind of need for newness and more, it's really important to us. We are trying to really minimize waste and overconsumption.
Mm-hmm. And you already have, you know, in, you know, the short lifespan of Tove, relatively speaking, you already have a very impressive following of recognizable faces like Katie Holmes or Gabrielle Union-Wade. Monique Dahl is such a beautiful influencer as well. How important is that support for you guys, Holly?
Yeah, it has been amazing. And I think especially when the pandemic hit, we just had so much support on Instagram. I think because people weren't obviously going anywhere, there was a lot of focus onto Instagram. And yeah, we gained a lot of following at that point in time. And it's just so lovely. It's just, you know, it lifts your spirit when it's tough. And you, when you see that come back and you see people wearing your clothing in such a lovely way, like, it is just... yeah, it's like the most rewarding thing. And a lot of our customers, they post themselves in our clothes, and that is always really lovely to see as well. It's just really, yeah, it's really nice.
And you really nurture that community as well, you know, and that's quite important in your growth.
One of the most influential names in Irish fashion, Bram Thomas fashion director Shelley Corkery also joined me on the podcast. And during our conversation, she highlighted the focus that Bram Thomas places on sustainability in every single division of the store, from the sourcing of products to recycled packaging, even the lighting in store. Sustainability is at the core of Bram Thomas's manifesto.
Do you think that there ever might be a space for resellers in Bram Thomas? Is that something that could happen?
Well, we've done lots of collaborations. Mm. Over the last 6 months, we did several with Vestiaire Collective, yes, which have done really, really well and been hugely successful. And we've invited all our customers in to bring whatever they feel is suitable, mm-hmm, to meet with the Vestiaire team. Okay. And that has been really, really well received by the customer, because I suppose everybody's got quite a lot of clothes at, yeah, this point in their wardrobe. And, you know, the landfill problems and all of these problems with them. Buying too much and, mm-hmm, having too much clothes is definitely, you know, a problem for the, you know, global warming, for the planet, and, mm-hmm, everything that goes with it. So we as a business are very, very focused on this. I mean, we're looking at everything from the carbon footprint to the lightings in the store, to pull back on the energy. We're looking at recycling all of our packaging, which has been really, really important, and we've actually come through that process at this point. We are looking at every single division, because it's the right thing to do. Yeah. And I suppose as a business, we're very, very driven, and it's a huge, huge, huge focus for, mm-hmm, us as a business on what's happening in the planet. And with all the climate changes, it has to be for the world. Absolutely. It has to change. It has to slow down. There's probably been too much produced over the last few years, mm, and all this palm oil problem and all of these other things that, mm-hmm, are going on have to be addressed, mm, sooner rather than later.
And it has to start with industries and companies like Bram Thomas, you know, the bigger companies, to start making that change.
Well, I think the fashion industry is probably one of the biggest problem areas in, yes, that. And, you know, the amount of materials that are being, you know, used, yeah, and the cotton and the amount of water that's being used for cotton. And, you know, with all this exotic skin coming down the road, you know, all of these things have to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can address them one by one and, you know, make the change, I think that's really, really vital.
It's vital, absolutely.
One of the most beautiful brands to come to life during the pandemic is Ground, a company created by renowned spa consultant Pegging Crowley. Ground offers natural, cruelty-free, vegan collections of aromatherapy balms and oils, and also offers a refill option to reduce waste and excess packaging. Here is what Pegging had to say about their approach to sustainability.
I had challenged myself to work with Irish suppliers as much as possible through print and design and any areas like that. And that was joyous, because we were all in it together. We were all, every time a challenge would come up, we'd go right or left. And there was wonderful bonding in that. So I'll remember the time of setup as being just a wonderful time. It's all about scent and it's relaxed and the team were beautiful. And when I'd look left, there'd be Clún Cean from Galway. When I'd look right, there'd be Labuji in Kinsale. There'd be Voya in Sligo. There'd be Rathbones. It was about, I would count up about 75-80% Irish up there. And to me, my heart would just be on fire because it's the direction we all want to move in. And lockdown has speeded it up, but
it has.
It's been going that way. So that's been magic.
It's such a luxurious product. You know, I was so blown away by the packaging and the glass bottles, and it's all really, really, I always keep, you know, the hand cream on my desk and or the hand balm rather. And I just think it's beautiful. So, you know, the design element of it, how long did that take? This all happened really quickly.
I think because I've designed other brands for other people, I've always known where, you know, given the choice, you know, sustainability kind of led for me. So I've learned loads of lessons, but I'm still fighting for vegetable glue and trying to do it in the most sustainable way possible. So design-wise, the wooden boxes, everything is all the color scheme. That's always been there. It didn't take long. And I have an amazing designer who locked down my logo and did my key lines. I guess... I'm doing it so long for other people that by the time I was doing it for myself, it just needed to be born.
And finally, Nicola Elliott of Neom Organics joined me on the podcast to discuss her wellbeing company, which offers clean, green and sustainable products. She discussed their endeavours to stay natural via small sustainable steps, which can make a big difference.
So all of your products are 100% natural, and since becoming a mom, I'm very conscious of what I'm using in the house and the chemical count. And, you know, previously I would be spraying the counters and I'd be going, now I want to use things that are natural. Yeah. Do you think that people are aware enough around the dangers of those synthetic chemicals? Do we even know the full extent of the dangers of those chemicals that we're spraying all around our house?
Well, we sort of unfortunately kind of just blindly trust and pick products up and buy them, don't we? You know, I've been guilty of that myself, you know, in the past. And I think we fly the flag for naturals for two reasons, really. One, I agree with you. I feel like, you know, we just constantly, I think at the last count, we was, you know, the average woman was using about 450 chemicals on her body every day. And we don't know what's in a lot of those. You know, that's the truth of the matter. Not everything's a bad chemical, but we, you know, there's a lot of stuff we don't know. Yeah. So I think partly I think that I agree with you. We certainly, I don't want to be increasing that. I want to be getting that down in our family home where we can. But secondly, because actually what people don't realise so much is that the wellbeing benefits of Neom couldn't work if it wasn't 100% natural fragrances. I mean, I can't help you sleep. I can't create calm through something that smells like sleep or like lavender or you know, is a synthetic kind of counterpart. And these wellbeing treatments only work through the purest plant oils. So that's kind of the power of the naturals. And I think, you know, that's something that people now are starting to realize. When we launched skincare this year, the whole world's going mad for like retinoids, etc., because they want vitamin A, for example, on their skin. Well, you can get amazing natural vitamin A through using various different natural oils. Yeah. So I think where we're coming to with naturals now is not just kind of realizing, oh my goodness, what is in the average product out there? I don't want those ambiguous chemicals in my body and in my family home. But also, oh my goodness, look what naturals can really offer us in terms of performance, whether it's well-being and what it feels like, or whether it's actually on the skin.
Yeah.
So that's the really interesting thing for natural, because when I started Neom, I would go around training people by literally bringing a carrot, two carrots out of my car. You know, here's an organic one. Here's just kind of, you know, one in a bag for 50p, and try and explain that. People didn't know the difference. So there's been a big change, a good thing.
Important, absolutely. Yeah. And this love of all things natural and organic obviously runs in your family, because your sister has an OBE for services to climate change. She's very aware. So in terms of sustainability within your business, then, how conscious are you of that in relation to your packaging and your supply chain? We know what's in the packaging is natural, but what happens with the sustainability in your packaging?
So we're really passionate about this. And I think moving kind of well ahead of the curve in terms of making it, I mean, Oliver, my co-founder, and I have a real passion that this is kind of, you know, zero waste and full sustainability in the next sort of 5 years max. And we're moving pretty quickly towards making sure that we do that, whether it's, you know, all our boxes being fully recyclable, of which they are now. We're moving towards new launches for January, February. We're now making sure that not only is the plastic recyclable, which obviously we've been working with for a while now, but that we are using post-consumer recycled plastic within our products. So it's not just the inside of the products, but it's the outside as well. Yeah. You know, we make sure that, for example, when it comes to mail order, you know, we're ditching all of the sort of plastic around, even the DPD sort of boxes that go out to people, that all the shred that comes inside is recycled, you know, caps, bottles, all that kind of stuff. We're moving towards a full kind of like every part of the business that we can. And do you know what? It's hard work for brands, because it's not just the cost thing. There's an awful lot of, it's very hard to work with suppliers and have enough options from suppliers of tubes and componentry that actually work, that are post-consumer recycled and recyclable as well. And you really want the full circle, you know?
Big time.
So, we take it seriously. We every step that we make now is how can we make it even better, even better, even better. But yeah, hopefully in the next 5 years, we'll see that it's a complete closed loop where that's concerned.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.